If you think about the most popular movies in our culture, you could probably put them into three different categories. First, we see those great movies, those epic adventures, such as The Lord of the Rings. Secondly, each one of us longs to see the underdog win a good fight. And those great success movies, such as Remember the Titans. And who of us can forget those great romantic movies that tugged on our heartstrings, such as Cinderella? Now, I believe that each and every one of us, because of the movies we watch that are popular, each and every one of us, it's proof that we have a desire for three things. A desire for adventure, a desire for success, and a desire for love. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to seek God is the greatest adventure. To find God, the greatest success. And to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. So the question we ask this morning, how do we seek God? How do we find Him? And how do we fall in love with Him? One word, prayer. And in our gospel today, and in our readings, we see the necessity of prayer in our own lives. St. Augustine once said, as the body cannot live without air, so too can the soul not live without prayer. In our first reading this morning, we hear about Moses, the leader of the Hebrew people. And they were going into battle. And it wasn't Moses' job to lead the men into battle, but it was his job to pray, to go on top of a mountain and extend his hands in prayer. And the more he prayed and the fervent he prayed, they won. Because of Moses' prayer, their victory entered them into eventually the promised land. And we too have a leader in our Lord Jesus Christ who went on top of the mountain of Calvary and stretched his hands out in prayer and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And because of the prayer of Jesus Christ on the cross, you and I, God willing, will enter our eternal promised land of heaven. But Jesus not only stopped on the cross, He prays for us today with His arms stretched out so that you and I can overcome our enemy of the death, the devil, the world. And that's what's so beautiful about this statue over here, that you can come underneath the arms of Jesus Christ to know that He is praying for you and that He asks for your prayers in return. So what is prayer? Allow me today to reflect with you what is the meaning of prayer and how do we live a Christ-centered life filled with prayer. Now, prayer is just a simple conversation with the God who loves you so much that He desires your love in return. Prayer is so simple. It's turning our mind and our hearts and lifting them up to God in communication. To communicate. Husbands, wives, you know that one of the greatest elements of your marriage is communication, right? That to communicate with the one you love is essential for your relationships. And you can think of how many ways we communicate. We can communicate face to face. We have telephones, texting, Facebook, email, snail mail. I think you could still send a telegram. And I don't know if anyone has beepers anymore, but you can communicate through beepers, right? So all these ways we can communicate with our loved ones here on earth, how much more does God give us the ability and the ways we can communicate with Him through prayer? And there are many ways we can pray. There are many times of the day we can lift our mind to God. There are many ways we can lift our heart to God. But let me sum them up in four different ways. And this is the wisdom of the church. And if you remember your catechism days, you may remember the acronym ACTS. A-C-T-S. A. Adoration. That we come to pray to God in adoration, that we adore Him, that we look upon Him in love. Husbands, wives, you remember probably the first time you saw your spouse, or you remember your wedding day and how beautiful and radiant your bride was, or how handsome your groom was, and you looked upon them with love. You adored them. Well, so too can we adore God in prayer. Whether it's seeing a beautiful sunrise or seeing the beauty of a child, the innocent of the face of a child, or seeing God in the elderly, we could adore God in each other. But also, we could come to adore God at Mass, in the Eucharist, in adoration. And it brings me great joy to know that here at Our Lady of Hope, that you have Eucharistic adoration on Thursday nights from 7 to 8. And in the morning, that you have adoration at 9 a.m. on Thursdays. To come to adore God who loves you so much that He gave you beautiful mountains, beautiful sunsets to prove His love to you. So the first way is adoration. Secondly, contrition. And you know that you are in relationships, that to say you're sorry is one of the most beneficial things to restore your relationship. To realize that you are not perfect and that maybe you have hurt your spouse, maybe children you've hurt your parents, or parents you've hurt your children. To say I'm sorry is a great way to restore your natural relationships. And so too, each and every night, we should examine our conscience and ask the Lord for forgiveness, to say we're sorry for the ways that we failed to love Him and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And also, you have the great ability here at Our Lady of Hope for the sacrament of confession. Every single Thursday night from 7 to 8, and on Saturdays, 9 to 10. I ask you, if you haven't been to confession in a while, to take the opportunity to come to the mercy of Jesus Christ, to say you're sorry for what you have done, because we know that that brings Him great joy and great freedom for you. So first way, adoration. Second way, contrition. The third way we could pray is in thanksgiving. To be thankful for the things that we have. To realize that everything that's been given to us is from a Father in heaven who loves us so much. So we ought to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. To be thankful for our families. To be thankful for our nation, our county, this beautiful church, our great priest. To be thankful for our parents, for our brothers and sisters. And one of the greatest ways we can be thankful to God is to be right here at Mass. Because we know the word Eucharist in Greek means thanksgiving. And you could come to Mass also during the weekday when you have a 6:45 and an 8:30, if your opportunity allows, to take the time, maybe one day out of the week, to come to daily Mass, to say thank you to the Lord who has blessed us each abundantly. So adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and lastly, S, supplication. Now, supplication is nothing more than asking God. And so a lot of times when we think of prayer, that's what we think it as, just asking God for what we want. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God doesn't always give us what we want. But I promise you this, He always gives you what you need. So you could ask, and you shall receive. Maybe not receive what you want, but you will receive what you need. So, how can we go about living a Christian-centered life full of prayer? And there are three requirements. The first one is setting up a specific time. And I challenge you to pray 20 minutes each day. Because you know, everything that you do worthwhile in life takes at least 20 minutes. Think about how long it takes to have a good meal, or how long you work out, or how long you have a good conversation. 20 minutes a day with our Lord. The second way is to enter into the silence. To enter into silence. We live in a culture filled with noise. TV, radio, internet, going here, going there. To take time to enter silence. Because God speaks in the silence of our heart. And lastly, to cultivate a prayer life, we need to set it into our schedules. Know that we are creatures of habit, that to set time aside specifically for God, for the one you love, will help cultivate your prayer life. And Jesus said in our gospel today, pray always without becoming weary. We cannot always pray if we do not specifically set up time to pray, to be conscious, to choose to pray. Now, when I think about communication, especially with God who loves us so much, I'm reminded of the model of my parents, specifically with their own communication with each other. And husbands and wives, you may know this, in order to have great communication skills, you have to set aside 20 minutes each day to converse with each other, to talk about your hopes, your sorrows of the day, maybe the great things that have happened to you, the frustrations, to set aside that time to communicate with one another. But I also realize that my parents, when they communicate 20 minutes a day, probably more than that, they also have to spend that 1 hour a week where mom tells dad, get in the car, Alan, we're going out on a cruise. They have to get away from the house. They just go for a little cruise. And so they drive around for an hour and just talk. Maybe it's going out to a meal for an hour and just talking. I see how healthy that is for their relationship. And finally, I see how the benefit that when they go out on a vacation together, to take 3-4 days, once a year, to just spend time away with just them. And they come back full of love and restored in their communication skills. I think that's applied to each and every one of us in our relationship with God. Every day we should spend 20 minutes with Him in prayer. Also, I think it's very beneficial that we spend 1 hour a week for a holy hour to come here to the chapel and spend 1 hour a week. And finally, if you can, if your schedule allows you, to get away one weekend to do a retreat. So prayer should be like the bookends in our life, where we pray first thing in the morning and we pray at the evening night. And many people ask, well, what about the challenges to prayer? How come I don't feel God? What do I do about that? God rewards you not based on your feeling, but on your perseverance. And this is what He says in the gospel today. Do not become weary in prayer. Because sometimes it's not always about how we feel. You know that in your own relationships. It's not about how you feel, but how you love. Secondly, someone may say, well, you know, I don't have enough time to pray. I'm so busy. I got the children. I've got all the work, all the extracurricular activities. I don't have time to pray. You know, there was a story about Mother Teresa. One of the religious sisters said, Mother, we have all these poor people. We can't take care of them. What should we do? You know what her response was? I think instead of doing one holy hour a day, we'll do two holy hours a day. It seems contradictory to us, which productivity means the more you do. No, the more we do is based on what God gives us. And the time we give to Him in prayer, He will multiply our time to make us see the things that we need to do for the day and those that we should put off for tomorrow. And finally, someone may say, well, I can't pray because I get way too distracted. I can't just sit there and talk to God. Well, the church, in her beautiful wisdom, gives us aids to pray. We could read Scripture. We could pray a rosary. You could do a holy hour here just in church by going around and looking at the windows and contemplating the mysteries of our faith just by looking at images. These things will help us in our distractions to prayer. To seek God is the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest success. And to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is my hope and my prayer that today we become a community of greater prayer, so that when we find God and fall in love with Him, He may draw us into eternal life. Amen.